Have your Bibles, turn them to Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Psalm 140 through 143 are bound together with a common theme, common circumstance that the psalmist prays about, common characteristics. I read in my studies that there are several Hebrew words in the Bible that are used in these psalms that are not found anywhere else in the Scripture. David had several times he faced these similar circumstances in war, and running from Saul and running from his son. He prays what are called imprecatory prayers. Prays for God to overthrow his enemy, for God to destroy his enemy. It's called an imprecatory prayer. He asked God to judge his enemies lest they destroy him. And in 2018, it's important that we go back to the main things, keep the main things the main things. And spending time in prayer and learning how to pray and being faithful in prayer is important. It is as important as the study of the Word, as witnessing to others. These are all, we need a balance of all these things in our Christian life. We don't go to seed on one of them to the neglect of all the others. Learning how to pray. Look at Psalm 140 with me. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischief in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, or traps, in other words. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Look over at 141, if you would. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline my heart to any evil thing. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Look at Psalm 142, and beginning with verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path and the way wherein I walk. Have they privily laid a snare for me? I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Continues in Psalm 143 with verse number 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications, and the faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he's smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. The word muse means to think. A muse means not to think. Amusement parks are places where you don't think, Chris Holland. Otherwise, you wouldn't go on those ups and downs 140 miles an hour and down to the bottom. You don't think. It's where you have fun because you're not worried. You're not thinking about life and the cares of life. That's okay for a little bit, but we can't stay that way. We've got to get back to musing on the Lord, thinking about God, thinking about His Word, thinking about life and the circumstances that we face. Maybe riding a roller coaster once in a while helps you to get back to those things when you come away from that. Let us pray. Lord, as we look into your word, help me today to give your people strength through the word, knowledge, understanding. And you guide me and let me be a help to your people. And Father, if there's anyone lost that hears the message, speak to their heart to help them to see their need and help them to understand the great love that you have for them to give Christ to die for their sins, that they might be drawn to him and serve him with their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David was a man of war. He fought the Philistines. He fought the nations of the wicked. He had to fight for his own life against, he wouldn't fight against Saul himself. He could have taken Saul's life on a couple of occasions, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted God to remove Saul as king and set him up because that's what the Lord had told him would take place. He fled to Adullam, to a cave, and there someone joined him named Abiathar, who was of the priests. And they had a common enemy because Saul had slain the family of the priests, and Abiathar was left alive, and he joined himself to David. But there was treachery here. There was a nation of men that David had delivered from their enemies, but yet they turned against him and sided with Saul against him. Discernment. Walking with God and reading his word and knowing his word gives us discernment to know right from wrong and who we should be a part of and who we should not be a part of. This present world in which we live, Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4, calls it this present evil world. Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. And we have enemies like David had, the world and the flesh and the devil. And life is tough at times. And sometimes we fear and sometimes we fret over how we're going to deal with a circumstance or trouble or trial. And David prays these prayers and these psalms and gives us insight into getting hold of the Lord in time of trouble. First of all, he prays for deliverance back in Psalm 140 and beginning with verse number 1. As believers in Christ, we know that we're saved. We've been delivered from the penalty of our sins. We've been delivered from the power that sin had over us. And Christ will one day come and deliver us from the presence of sin when he takes us home to heaven to be with him forevermore. We pray daily as we think about the Lord's Prayer and the teaching of it. We pray to be delivered from temptation and delivered from evil. We face things in this present world in which we live. There are evil men who hate the Lord and the Bible and the church, and they would do anything possible to overthrow us and keep us from preaching the gospel. Satan is alive and well and at work through demons in the lives of people in our world today. Now, God has saved us and preserved us from hell. Thanks be unto God. If you're saved today, you know Christ is saved. You don't have to worry about going to hell. That's a done thing. Christ paid the price for your sins. You're delivered and protected from hell, preserved from it. He protects you from harm. You go through daily life and you don't have any idea all of the things that could have happened to you that God protected you from. That protecting angel, that Holy Spirit of God, that move of the hand of God, that you sometimes have faced things that you came through traffic on the interstate or the highway and you don't know how you even got through it without having a wreck. And then you think, praise God. Thank the Lord he protected us. He delivered us. I remember a preacher talking about he had one of these older model Chevrolet Suburbans, the great big ones, you know, and he went up in the mountains with his family, went to Gatlinburg and Cherokee and all those kind of places. He came back home. He lived in Charleston. He parked it in the driveway, got up next morning, went out, and he pulled it down in gear, and the transmission was gone. It wouldn't move a bit. He said, thank the Lord he brought us home safe. That could have happened in the mountains. That could have happened where we could have lost control of the vehicle or anything of that nature. He saw the hand of God protected him. that though he certainly wasn't happy about having to pay, you know, whatever it cost back then, about $700 to put a transmission in that thing. He wasn't happy about that, but he was very happy the Lord had protected them, and he knew that. God protects us from harm. He preserves us from hell. He provides for us a place in heaven. We've got something to look forward to that the people of this world who aren't saved can't even comprehend. That we know in our heart that the truth is in the Word of God and that God is providing a place for us in heaven for our future. And a place in the Father's house, a place in the mansions of glory. Doesn't mean you're going to have a 10,000 square foot mansion. If you had one, you wouldn't clean it. But, he's going to prepare a place for us in the mansions of glory is what the Bible says. And I believe that is absolutely true. God pronounces we are His. It said if we trust Christ as our Savior, we become part of the family of God. We become the sons of God. We become the children of God. We're a part of His own family. And if we study His Word, it will produce a hope and an assurance in our hearts that we can know the truth and know the end from the beginning. We can look forward to the future knowing the end is coming. David thought on God's great power and His past deliverance in his own life. In Psalm 143 and verse number 5, he said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I like that word, muse. Thinking about it. Meditating on the Word of God. Pausing to focus on God's Word and what God has done for you in the past. When you face something in 2018 that is a difficulty, it is good for us to remember that the same God who brought us through all the things we've been through in our life will bring us through whatever's going to happen in 2018. Even a government shutdown. Now, if it actually gets to the point, which I don't believe it will, but if it actually gets to the point that people who are on Social Security don't get their checks and things like that, listen, as long as the church has got food, we're going to share, we're going to eat, we're going to provide for one another, we're going to take care of one another. And God has blessed this church so that we're in financial good shape. Think back about how God has brought you through things, how good He's been. Remember that He's able. He's protected you. He's provided for you. He's brought you through probably tougher times than whatever you're facing at the moment in a crisis in life. Muse on the works of His hands. Think about His creation power. Our God created the universe. The Bible tells us He did it in 5 days. On the sixth day, He made man and put him in this perfect paradise that He had created for him. And on the seventh day, He rested as a Sabbath rest. Our God's all-powerful. The all-powerful God listens to the prayers of His people. And when we can get hold of God, we don't have to call long distance. God is not far from those who believe in Him. We can get hold of Him at any time. You can pray driving down the road in your car and pour your heart out to God. I do that all the time. I often pull up to a red light and I'm talking to God and somebody, I look up and somebody's looking at me like, what in the world is that guy doing over there? You know, if he's singing, he's not doing a very good job, you know. God is ever present. He can hear us when we call. Let's start in this year renewing our prayer life with the Lord, making sure we take time to pray and not rushing through. You know, our days are so busy and our days are so filled with the things that we need to do and the things that we want to do that we rush through a few verses of Scripture and rush through a prayer and, you know, rush through the things of life that we really need to spend more time on. Spend time with the husband and wife and with the family and in the Word. God, who's made provision for us and protection for us, will continue to deliver us, and we can continue to pray and continue to ask His help. And all of this comes because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He taught His disciples how to pray, and ask for their needs to be supplied and deliverance from the troubles and trials of life. Psalm 141, verse 2 and 3, David prays with devotion. He requests an audience with the Lord. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We have a relationship with God. That's the basis of our prayer to him, that we have a relationship with him. We are a part of his family. We have the right to call upon him. We have the audience with God to call as his children, call upon their Father. "Give us what we need, O Lord." And the psalmist calls upon God and exalts God in prayer and lifts God up, showing that God is the one who can provide salvation and deliverance in the times of trouble. Our whole basis for an audience with God is our relationship through Jesus Christ. He's our Father. He's bestowed upon us his love. David says, "Let my prayer be as incense unto you, a sweet-smelling savor unto God." Let it be the sweetness of prayer from the children of God. Let it be the submission of prayer as the children of Israel lifted up their hands in the evening sacrifice unto God. Let it be a sanctifying prayer where we're set apart from sin and the things of the world and drawn unto God and seek to be in his presence and have an audience with him. It is sanctifying prayer. Learn to get hold of God. Healing may depend upon it. Your children's health may depend upon it. You knowing how to get hold of God, how to pray, how to bring your needs and petitions, how to get God intervening in your life. We should begin by expressing our love to God and our thanks to God and seek to know his will in the circumstance that we're going through. Usually when we're in some bad circumstance, we just want out of it. We just want deliverance. We just want it to be over. But God may be using that in a myriad of ways to work not only with us, but with other people who are around us in various ways. We study to know his word because we're seeking answers in time of trouble. We seek his power because we know that he has the power to change circumstances of life for us. It's important that we seek to be fruitful in every good work and draw close unto him when we're going through trials and tests and trouble, because God can use those to help us minister to others who have also gone through things or will go through what we're going through. Fourthly, we hear David's desire in Psalm 141 in verse number 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." James said the tongue is a real problem. He said you can bridle a horse, you can train a lion, you can guide a great ship with just a rudder, but how do you control the tongue? The tongue can set the world on fire. The tongue can cause all kind of trouble. You know, here in the South, we say, "Shut my mouth." We say, "God bless them," you know. And that's excuses for talking about people, gossiping. You say "God bless them" after the end of it. Doesn't matter what you say about them, you know. "Oh, God bless them," you know. "They're a sorry devil and a liar, but God bless them," you know. Yeah, you're a judge, aren't you? And "shut my mouth," you know, when I say something I shouldn't say. If I smacked my lips every time I said something I wish I hadn't said, I wouldn't have any lips left. I want God to guide my words. I want him to help my mouth to stay under his control. Because if my mouth is right, that means what I'm thinking on the inside will be right. And if what I'm thinking on the inside is right and what's coming out of my mouth is right, then my conduct will please the Lord. Verse number 4. "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties." Maybe a belief in your behavior should be evidence of what you believe. If we're Christians and we believe the Bible, then our behavior ought to show that. Amen. Our heart should be right with God. And if our heart is right with God, then our character and our conduct ought to be right. Guard our behavior. Guard our innermost being. Help us to be real as Christians, that people around us can see the sincerity of our heart. Regardless of our talents and abilities, sincerity speaks louder than words. Fifthly, David's prayer for defense in Psalm 141, verse 8 through 10. He said, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord is in thee my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape." It's important in 2018 that we don't allow ourselves to just focus on the stock market and material things. We need as Christians to learn to be content with what we have. And we need to learn to keep our focus on the Lord and His will in our life. If we learn to be content, we can be happy people regardless of what our financial situation is. I'm not looking at Donald Trump as my king. I've crowned Jesus Christ as the king of my life. And I don't care who the president is. He doesn't have the power to do those things. I really got active in politics when Ronald Reagan ran. I liked Ronald Reagan. I thought he was the greatest president we had up to that time. But he did a number of things that I would have liked to have shot him over myself. Instead of that Hinckley character, you know, he's just a man. We hope our president will be the kind of man that honors God and who leads rightly. But they're just men and they have feet of clay and they show us that all the time when we find out more about their life. But God can show Himself mighty on our behalf because we are His people. I pray today that you find favor with God and with man in 2018. Because of your walk with God, because of your study of the Word and your prayer life and drawing close unto the Lord. I pray that the wicked will see who God is pleased to bless, that they might know there is a difference between their life and our lives, not because we're deserving, but simply because of the grace and mercy of God that we honor and serve. Keep us from harm and the snares and the traps. New Testament tells us to walk circumspectly. And that means carefully, because there are all kinds of snares out there that Satan has laid traps for you. It may be at the office where you work. It may be in the neighborhood where you live. It could be within your own household. There are snares and traps that Satan would draw you in with temptation. And if you follow the wrong people, you may very well wind up in one of those circumstances. I live out in the country, and country people know what a lighter knot is. A lighter knot is where a pine stump is rotted away, and right in the center of it is still alive. It's got sap in it. You break those old rotten stumps away and you get that lighter knot out, and you can light that thing and use it for a torch in the woods at night. That's what they used to do back in the old days. Or you can split it up a little bit and use it for kindling to get your fire started, because it's got a lot of sap in it. You know, when that lighter knot's taken out and that old pine rots quicker than an oak or anything like that, you aren't careful walking along in the woods and the leaves have filled up the hole where that stump used to be. You can fall about hip deep right in that hole. Boom. Just all of a sudden. You break a leg, you twist an ankle, you could be in bad shape. I went deer hunting a number of times and stepped in a stump hole. I stepped in one in my own yard about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I didn't realize that thing had completely rotted away like that, and I fell down so hard and so far, I couldn't get up. One leg was so far down in the hole, I couldn't get the other leg under me to push my way back out of the thing, you know. And boy, you can fall into a trap of the devil so quick and so deep and so harmful that only God can get you out of it. But if he guides you and directs you, you walk safe. You know, I'm not smart enough and I'm not strong enough to withstand every temptation and trap that lies before me. But I serve someone who is. And if I can keep my eyes on him and follow him, he will lead me in life away from those traps and snares, and I can give him praise, honor, and glory for all he's done. I got two more pages of notes, but I've been slow preaching today, so I'm going to stop right there and we'll pray. Don't forget, the college will be here tonight. I hope you'll come back at 6. And Sam, you give instructions when you get up here about what the choir's to do. And we'll enjoy hearing ambassadors sing and out and preach. Go ahead, stand. Thank you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray that as we look into this beginning of a new year, that you will help us, Lord, to be mindful of those main things in our life as a Christian, of spending time in the Word, being found faithful in church, of spending time in prayer and learning to be people that know how to pray and how to get a hold of God, and that our walk will match what we say we believe from the Word of God. Help us truly to be Christians, to be like Christ, that the world might see God is real and He's real in our lives. We need your help to do that every day. We ask you for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.